at the time, my partner, Clayton Ivey and myself were pretty hot producers. We had four in the top 40 and one that was a huge hit on a group called Hot, and the song was Angel in Your Arms This Morning Will Be the Devil in Someone Else's Arms Tonight. So when we were asked, you know, to produce Wayne Newton, I mean, that was so different than anything we're doing, you know what I mean? This guy is the king of Las Vegas. But at the time, if you were a big star in Las Vegas, top 40 radio wouldn't play your records. So it was a tough thing to do if you're a Las Vegas performer, you know, to get another hit record. And so I flew out to California to 20th Century Fox and met with Jay Stream, Wayne's manager, and the head of A&R for 20th Century Fox, and we had a little conversation and stuff, and they said, okay, we want you to produce him. So from there, Jay Stream owned the Cessna dealership in San Luis Obispo, California, and we got in his car, and we went to San Luis Obispo, and we hopped in his Cessna jet, which at the time, that was the only airplane that you didn't have to have a co-pilot. So I got to set, you know, as the co-pilot. So we're flying towards Las Vegas, and he looks at me and he says, now, I don't want you to get alarmed, but he said, I'm going to turn off the radio. And he said, we're going to be flying over an area that we're not supposed to be flying over. And he said, there could be some military jets come up here after us. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I said, why would you do that? He said, because it's shorter, straight shot to Las Vegas. So you can imagine what area we were flying over, if you know anything about Nevada and those secret places there.
Area 51, yeah.
So we get to the airport, and this black limousine picks us up, you know, and it's just so different, you know, than the rock and roll at the time that we were doing, and it's just the whole scene. So we go to this restaurant, and we sit down, we're going to eat, and I said, well, and I'm always thinking to myself, okay, Wayne's had a couple of hits, Doc of Shame and Daddy Don't You Walk So Fast, but he hadn't had any in a while. How could he become the king of Las Vegas? You'd think you'd have to have a lot of hits, or do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So, Jay Stream told me his story. And Wayne, at the time, Jay Stream and Wayne had something in common, and they had Arabian horses, and they were really big into it, you know, and I guess they'd see each other at shows, but Wayne was contemplating bankruptcy, and he goes to Jay Stream and he says, would you manage me and my career? And Jay Stream said, well, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, number one, you can't go bankrupt. Number two, he said, before I'll even discuss this with you, you have to lose 30 pounds in 1 month.
Wow.
I guess he was a little overweight at the time, obviously. I don't know. And so, sure enough, Wayne Newton lost the 30 pounds in 1 month. And he came back to Jay Stream. And Jay Stream put him on, this is what Jay's telling me, and he put him on a $500 a week allowance and managed his money. And to my knowledge, I don't think Jay Stream ever took a penny for managing him. I mean, he didn't need to. You know, he was a well-off guy, and really nice guy. And so I said, well, you know, how did he become king of Las Vegas? He said, well, he said, what we did, and he, of course, he was the first one to do this. I imagine since then other people have done it. But at Christmas time, he gave a free dinner show to all the cab drivers and their families here. And he really, you know, if you ever saw his show, he really does put on a good show. I saw it many times. In fact, I thought about six times, and the seventh time was going to see the show. I said, why not just, I don't think I want to go. I said, I've seen it six times. I think I hurt his feelings. Really. Because I think really what he wanted me to go for is to see where he's coming from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To see his personality, to see his talent. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could play all kinds of instruments. And, you know, he's pretty impressive, I have to admit. And so, if you ask a cab driver, and when you get off the plane, what's the best show in town? It's Wayne Newton. I asked the cab driver, what's the best show in town? He said, Wayne Newton.
That's great. That's great.
Some fun things happened, though. I used to have to go back and forth to Las Vegas because he's working, you know, 6-7 days a week. So I've got to go out there to help pick songs, and then I come back. And then I've got to come out and get keys, you know, to see what he's going to sing it in. And so back and forth and back and forth. And, of course, ironically enough, when we were producing the Wayne Newton album, we were also producing your album.
Yeah.
So you can imagine the contrast of the kind of music Wayne Newton's doing versus the kind of music you were doing back then.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You guys were going on at the same time, which is like, I guess where you know, had your meetings with Wayne and got to see how he was as a person, really is, you know, class act.
I've never seen anything like it, you know. And Jay, of course, stepped right in and helped me out by taking the couple and just taking them right in and saying, Wayne, you've got some people love to see you, blah, blah. Why don't you hear me record a song? Oh, it was incredible. It was incredible. I've never seen anything like it. And he handled it so beautifully. I guess that's part of the old Vegas thing, but I don't think so. I think that's just the man who Jay Stream was. Like you said, yep. You don't even think there was a contract between the two of them, or, you know, it was more like, all right, I'll put you on an allowance, you lose 30 pounds, and he starts off at $500 a week, and then what were you telling me he was making within a short period of time? He was making a fortune.
Oh, yeah, well, interesting thing also that Jay Stream showed me is the contract with the Desert Inn and Wayne. And he pulled out this little 3x5-inch notebook, and here was a little handwritten thing that said so much money and so many performances. And that was it.
Yeah.
Now, my contracts in the music business back then were 40 pages long. The people at the Desert Inn had a lot of respect for Jay Stream.
Yeah, yeah.
And Wayne Newton, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I think the other thing was, I said, well, how do you determine how much money that Wayne should get? You know, I ask him anything. I could get away with it. I was from the South, and everybody thought I was stupid. And so I got away with a lot of stuff. And so he said, well, he said, we take out 2 weeks every year, and we do theater of the rounds all over the country, and Wayne sells them out. And we come back and say, okay, this is what we can make in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
And that's how they determined it.
Wow.
Theater, you know? And the other thing, you know, Lena Horne was, Wayne really looked up to her, you know, almost like a mother, and she performed across the street at the Frontier.
That's right.
If she got sick or for some reason couldn't do a show, Wayne would do his show and go do her show and go do his show and go do her show. That's how much, you know.
Yeah. That's amazing.
For. And can you imagine them doing those shows back to back? You know, because they're intense, you know. They're real physical and draining, you know. I'll tell you the fun thing. I told you I used to have to go out there back and forth. And you go into the dressing room, and they had this little seating area. And the guy who was running the show for Desert Inn and Frontier was a guy named Walter Kane. And it was Walter Kane Presents Wayne Newton, right?
Yeah.
And really nice older guy. And he was always sitting there. Wayne's biggest fan. He liked the stuff that we were doing. You know, and so I'd, and Wayne called him grandfather. Mm-hmm. And I called him Walter. But I started to notice nobody called him Walter. It was always Mr. Kane. But I called him Walter, and he and I got along great, right? And we'd sit there and talk, and he said, I just love it, you know. Anyway. So I'm flying back on a plane from Miami to Los Angeles. Clayton and I had done a string session in Miami. And I'm reading Howard Hughes' life story. I don't know why, but I was just curious. I'd heard some interesting things about him. And, you know, he lived at the Desert Inn. And it said in there that Walter Kane was his right-hand man. You know, Walter?
Good Lord.
So I freaked out a little bit. I said, I hope I didn't insult him. You know, everybody else calling him Mr. Kane and me calling him Walter. But I think I got away with it because I was in the South again.
Yeah.
And when you go in there, there's always stars there coming to... I don't want to say coming to get the blessing, but keep in mind, he is king of Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And it's just, you do it out of respect, I guess. All kinds of stars would come in there when I was there. And so, anyway, when we did the, finally came in, we recorded everything except for the horns and stuff, you know, the tracks. We had all the tracks cut, then we'd take the tracks out there, he rehearsed the tracks, and then he flies in on the Cessna with Jay Stream, and then one day, he did 11 vocals. 11 vocals in one day. I mean, sometimes we used to spend 3 hours on one song to get the lead vocal. But he was that professional. The other thing I noticed out there when I go out to Las Vegas, all of the orchestra people, background singers, everybody was on salary and worked for him, and he knew them all. And he knew all the backstage people that worked at the Desert Inn, and they all knew him, and they liked him. And he was just a class guy. I mean, he knew them all. Talked to each other, you know. It wasn't like he was doing this big superstar trip.